Welcome to Impact Audio. I'm Sam Kaplan, Vice President of Social Impact at Submittable. A few weeks ago, I was in St. Louis for the Peak Grantmaking Conference. This year, many of the conference's keynotes and sessions centered on the impact the federal government is having on philanthropy and the nonprofit sector. The speakers painted a clear and a sobering picture of how deeply nonprofits are affected, and they raised some complex questions about the role of private philanthropy in a moment like this. Today, I sit down with Peak Grantmaking's Managing Director, Sarah Richmond Sanders, and we chat about what we heard from grantmakers and nonprofits at the conference and what it means for the nonprofit sector at large. Sarah Richmond Sanders, we've known each other for a long time through your organization, Peak Grantmaking, and we get to see each other at least once a year. And we just saw each other in St. Louis. So how are you doing, my friend?
Oh, it's so good to be here, Sam. Thank you so much for inviting me to be on your podcast. And it was great seeing you a few weeks ago in St. Louis for Peak 2026.
Totally. So we'll get right back to St. Louis, but how about just a super quick introduction? So tell us a little bit about you and your work at Peak. I know you've been there for several years now. Like what's all the cool stuff that you get to do day in and day out?
Great. Well, hi, everybody. I'm Sarah Richmond Sanders. I use she, her pronouns, and I'm the managing director at Peak Grantmaking. I've been with Peak for about 9 years now, and actually started at Peak months after the shift from being the Grants Managers Network to becoming Peak Grantmaking. And so Peak is now focused on principled grantmaking, equity, advocacy for the field of grants management and the sector of philanthropy, and knowledge. So always learning, sharing, and evolving. And I always like to share a little bit about myself because I think we're full human beings outside of what we do in the workplace. So I am a mom of an awesome 10-year-old daughter. I play the viola in a local community orchestra, and I love the beach.
That's awesome. Thank you for telling us something about yourself. And I didn't realize you had been at the organization for as long as you have. So it's been such a sort of interesting evolution at Peak. Like you mentioned the Grants Manager Network. So that was the organization before it was renamed and rebranded Peak. And I was going to the conferences back when it was that Grants Managers Network. And, you know, back in the day, like it was very focused on like kind of being 100% like, I don't know how to describe it, like practitioner, sort of like this is how you do expenditure responsibility. And there wasn't much conversation back then around like the role of the grants manager really being like a professional, career-oriented position at a foundation or other grant-making organization. And as the organization became Peak, there was a lot of conversation around like how the grant professional impacts things like equity, how they're a bridge between the grant-making organization and all of the incredible nonprofits that they support. Like, tell me a little bit about like how that evolution has looked to you having been there for 9 years.
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think the funny thing is that we still, of course, do talk about expenditure responsibility.
Yeah.
Like we don't get away from all of the basics of compliance. That is still a core of what grants management professionals do and what Peak tries to offer in professional development. But we are celebrating our 30th anniversary this year. And I think evolution is the right term for it. Back when Peak started, it was really... the term grants manager didn't even exist yet. And so having a network for folks who were doing the important relationship work and administrative work and compliance work and soon to become technology work to make sure that grants were getting out the door in effective and efficient ways, that was revolutionary at the time. And so the evolution that we're seeing now is, what does it mean to be strategic in grants management? You can't be courageous. You can't give equitably without grants management really understanding how to do the work behind the scenes really well and without having really great relationships with your grantees, really centering grantee voices and needs in the process. And that's what grants management really does today. That I don't think we hadn't yet gotten there as a field to even think about those things when the Grants Managers Network first started.
Yeah, for me, it's been a really, really amazing evolution of both the organization and the role, and its place in philanthropy and the nonprofit sector. So super excited that you've had the chance to witness it and influence it over the last several years at the organization. So okay, now that we've gotten the niceties out of the way, let's dive right into peak 2026. So, tell me, like, in your opinion, like, what was really fun, what was stressful, like, what came together perfectly in terms of helping to organize the conference, what didn't, or what did you learn, like, what was it like sort of behind the scenes in your role?
Yeah. So first, I just want to say a huge thank you to Vanessa Elkin, Kristen Craig, and Jen Sardewy on the Peak team who led all of the conference planning this year, along with the entire Peak team and our planning committee and co-chairs, Rokeya Rahman, Kelsey Anderson, and Monica Thorns. And so staff and volunteers coming together to plan this amazing event where over 1,100 members and folks from philanthropy come together. As you can imagine, what makes it fun, I think, is the camaraderie and the collaboration. As long as you have a long runway and are super organized, I don't think it can be fun unless you have those things in place. Before I get to what came together perfectly, I'll share a little bit around what was maybe stressful or the challenges that we are facing this year. So this year we were dedicated to getting really creative on how do we create this like wow experience on a budget, and also when we know that the world in many ways is on fire and that our community is supporting folks who really are at the front lines of all of the challenges that we're facing generally. And so we really charged ourselves as a staff team to make the most out of every conference registration, exhibitor fee, sponsorship dollar we could.
Cool.
Change is stressful by nature to most folks, but it was also exciting. And I love to see just like the magic coming together of people leaning into their power at all levels of the organization to figure out like what can we do differently and better.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead if you have something.
No, I was just going to say that, like, it feels to me like, as somebody who's been to Peak many years in a row now, that like what the organization really has in its corner is this large network of members who absolutely love the organization and love the people who run it. And so, like, everybody shows up and we're all just so excited to be there with each other, anxious to learn, like we're all amped about the dine arounds and the networking events and the receptions. And like, in a way, I know that as hard as you and everybody works at Peak, it's like, you everything's going to be successful simply because you have this large network of members who are in your corner, and they are just like, they're like totally so excited to support you and the organization and the conference.
Yeah, I totally agree, and that's very well said. And that does connect to the things that really stood out for me this year. I think the best feedback that I've heard is that the balance of the session content felt really good.
Yeah,
And so
I
just
agree.
like we oh, good. Yeah. And
Yeah.
I think it goes back to what we were talking about earlier around the evolution of what grants management can and should be, that there was a good balance between like tactical and practical grants
Yeah.
management content that our members love. You know, there's assessing grantee financials, all the compliance topics. How do you use your grants management system to do X, Y, and Z?
Yep.
So like not getting away from that core, like that members still could come to Peak 2026 and really engage deeply on those topics, but then also having the inspirational and aspirational calls to action to transform the sector, create equity in an inherently inequitable sector. That's a big charge. And
Yeah.
it especially right now, like we need our grants management professionals and all of us who are fighting the good fight to be motivated, to have their cups filled, to feel like they're a part of a community who cares about them. And so that was really wonderful to see again this year, especially when things have been really challenging. And then I'd say the other thing that really stood out to me this year was just the joy and laughter from the staff team. We had an incredibly hard year. I know many other nonprofits and funders did too. And we're a remote team as well. So we actually hadn't seen each other as a collective in person since peak 2025. And so it was really amazing to come together and to see like our to see our efforts to be people-centered on a budget come
Yeah.
to fruition, that folks could be working really hard, having fun, making those connections with our members. That's what you want to see at a conference. So it was great to be able to witness that and experience it personally.
Totally. I totally agree. And I think that all of that happened at peak this year. And, you know, to your point, like, let's not shy away from, as you put it, like the world being on fire for the nonprofit sector, and it has been now for a long time. And I think everybody is feeling that. And we feel it especially like for all of our nonprofit partners. But I mean, to be truthful, it's also really challenging for those who are on the grant making side as well. Like, you know, the grant makers, the philanthropers, like they're equally trying to figure out, you know, when it feels like everything is under fire or under attack, like, you know, how do we continue to collectively achieve our mission? And I think that everyone coming together this year, like it was really needed to have this event with everybody in person and, you know, able to lean on one another and commiserate together a little bit and to, you know, really draw on, you know, each other's strengths. So for me, I think that was like worth the cost of admission alone.
Oh, good, good. Yeah. And I agree. That's what we know, the work's important, but if everybody's burnt out or afraid, we're not going to achieve it. So, having that, having the content, having the training and the learning is good, but those personal connections are just as important.
Yeah. All right. So hopefully you got a chance to go to one or two of the sessions. Did you have any like I won't say a favorite, but like was there a particular session or a speaker that really stood out to you?
Yeah, I was thinking about this and I thought of two who really stood out to me, or two moments that really stood out to me. So we tried something new at the opening keynote, and we, before Jackie Joyner Kersee ever took the stage, I know that I grew up in a time when, you know, I remember writing about her in elementary school, and I was like hardcore fangirling about the fact that she was going to be at our conference telling my daughter all about her and, you know, being a gold medalist and Olympian. And then it was really cool to hear her story about being from East St. Louis, and being a local who started a foundation and a community center to directly impact and support her own community. And so to hear her talk about that, especially in light of people encouraging her to basically disown where she came from,
Yeah.
that was super inspirational. So I loved her story. But I also loved hearing her sort of talking as a nonprofit leader about the realities of needing funding to meet new needs as they were uncovered. So, like, having a community center is great, but if the kids aren't getting fed, they can't take full advantage of it. So, you know, what other support and funding did they need in order to be able to really support the community? I loved hearing that, especially from Jackie Joyner Kersee, and hearing her encouraging funders to actually go to communities, like narrow that power gap by actually like seeing what communities need, listening to them directly. So she was totally speaking peace language, and to hear a gold medal Olympian do that
Yeah.
was pretty cool.
How about her calling out like 30-page grant applications?
Yes,
That was one of the
yeah.
best moments of the whole conference.
I agree. It's sort of like chuckling to herself, like, do I say this in front of the 1,100 grant makers? That was pretty awesome.
I mean, in the very fact that, like, you know, an Olympian, one of her caliber is like aware of 30-page grant
True,
applications, like how
true.
authentic I, you know, that was one of my favorite moments of the whole conference.
Yeah, right. And like, if Jackie Joyner Kersee is complaining about it, maybe we can agree we shouldn't do it anyway,
That's
you
right.
know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about Carmen Rojas from the Marguerite Casey Foundation? She was absolutely incredible. I thought she talked about, you know, living a good life versus sort of the anti-good life. You know, and she really talked about like, you know, defending democracy, defending the sector. A line that she used that just blew me away is that this is a time when monsters are named. Like she was not pulling any punches at all, was she?
Totally agree. And I love how she really spelled out what community building actually looks like and what it requires of funders. These are not overnight fixes, nor are they happening in a vacuum. Like, there will be pushback to what you're doing, even just to get clean water or education to communities. So I really appreciate, I love Carmen. I always think that she speaks from the heart, but also challenges us. So I really appreciated that.
Yeah, I do as well. And she talked about like moving the most money to the people on the front lines as being the most important fight in our country right now. I thought that was very powerful. And as she was talking, like, we've all had the opportunity to see Carmen speak many times over the past couple of years. And to me, in a big way, she has emerged as like one of the two or three like most important voices of philanthropy and the nonprofit sector over the last year or two. And I really thought about how it feels like the torch has been passed from Darren Walker, the past president of the Ford Foundation, over to Carmen, and how different like her era of philanthropy is than Darren Walker's. Like Darren, clearly did like incredible things, fought for social justice and criminal reform and all of the amazing things that he was able to achieve at the Ford Foundation. And here, like in just, a year or two's time, Carmen is just, really trying to figure out how she and all of her colleagues at these incredible foundations and grant-making organizations, can up their game to, defend the nonprofit sector. And I think she's doing a fantastic job of it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I'll just say, if you don't follow her LinkedIn yet, you should. She also does a great job of sharing stories from communities and the nonprofits who are supporting folks, especially
Yes.
folks who are being detained by ICE. So yeah, she's doing a great job. And I want to hear more voices from philanthropy leaders like Carmen's.
Yeah, not to put you on the spot, like, do you think there's any like emerging voices like from anybody in the sector right now that you're paying attention to?
That's a great question. I mean, I will share the other one, big one who comes to mind. I don't know. I wouldn't call him emerging, but my other favorite moment was Dr. Rich Besser, president and CEO of Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. And he certainly is another, I would say, courageous leader who, where others I see backing down or retracting, he is standing up, speaking out, and putting his money where his mouth is, which is all nonprofits want funders to do. And so that is really amazing to see. And I will say that at Peak 2026, the other great thing that I think Dr. Besser did was actually call out grants management and said, I can be courageous, but I also need the infrastructure and people doing the work equitably, effectively at my organization. And that's what grants management is doing. And so to hear that validation for the field from somebody who I really admire was amazing.
I agree totally. Any themes that you heard over the course of the conference that really stood out to you?
Yeah, I think a couple come to mind. First, I think it's what we're talking about. It's like the grappling with how do I best support grantees and communities in the current climate, when democracy's under attack, when philanthropy's under attack. How do you get the funding? How do you get the funding directly to the grantees as quickly and efficiently and equitably as possible? Which I think has been a through line now for Peak for many years. And I'm happy that it's not going anywhere, and that people aren't scared into thinking, I shouldn't be talking about this anymore. So that's one. And then I think another big one is, of course, technology and AI. How are we getting creative and staying adaptable and learning what we need to in order to make the most of our grants management systems? How are we experimenting with technology while also being really clear where the line is? There are some really scary, unanticipated consequences of AI. We know that, discrimination is baked into many of our systems and that AI feeds from those systems. So it can be challenging. How are you making sure that the technology you're using isn't continuing the discrimination that we see in other systems? So I saw some conversations actually even stemming beyond peak 2026 around that. And so it's good to see grants management professionals thinking about this. I don't think that we've all figured it out yet, but
Right.
I think we're trying to.
Yeah, we are for sure. Like, it's been really fun for me, like in my role, to watch the evolution of AI and in within the nonprofit sector, and especially within grant making organizations. And you know, like, to me, the big difference in last year at peak and this year is that a year ago, like, everybody was really there was we were all talking about the potential and the possibilities of AI. This year, like, last year, there weren't a lot of people really using AI. This year, I think there are tons of people all using AI, but the best practices and, like, you know, like, people figuring out how to use AI in a way that really benefits the whole sector, I don't think that has happened yet. Like, everybody is using it to look at data and to, you know, to do the basics. But nobody has figured out yet how to leverage AI to really disrupt the way that we do grant making. So yeah, that's a theme that I picked up on, and I thought it was really interesting to kind of track that we've gone from it being just a, you know, a theoretical conversation to being something that everybody's using, although in a pretty haphazard way. Hopefully next year we come back and we begin to see, like, oh, look, these, like, 50 grant making organizations have all begun to use AI to do, like, disruptive work. So that's my hope with AI. And, you know, for me, I think the other theme that I picked up on, Sarah, was this concept of nonprofit fragility. And it's been written about now for over a year. Like, people are talking about how fragile nonprofit organizations are. But that term really, like, rose to the top for me over the course of the conference. I heard it mentioned in several different breakout sessions, and on the main stage. And I think it really began to sort of put a voice behind these nonprofits and to articulate how much of a challenging time nonprofit organizations have been having over the last 12 months, and that there is real risk that many nonprofits may not survive the next 12 months. And as terrible as that is, like, there's a real world impact to foundations and grant makers as well, because those nonprofits are partners, and that's how impact gets done. And so if foundations have fewer nonprofit partners that they can work with and rely on to achieve that impact, like, that's a terrible thing for the entire sector, including foundations.
Yeah, that's a great point. I think related to that, we've talked, I know a lot internally, and I picked up on this at Peak 2026 too, around nonprofit resiliency. And one of the interesting things we've talked about internally as a Peak staff is, wouldn't it be nice to not have to be as resilient all the
Yes,
time?
totally. It would be
Yeah.
great.
It would be great, you know, like how do we set up nonprofits so that they aren't fragile and they don't have to be resilient? What does it look like to create a sector where nonprofits are strong and that not only can nonprofits rely on their funding partners to
Yeah.
continue funding them, but that funders can rely on nonprofits to get the work done without facing burnout, without seeing turnover, because they're really well supported.
Yeah. All right. Let me squeeze two questions into one. It'll be my last question for you. So, you mentioned Peak's 30th anniversary. Like, in your opinion, like, what do you think is going to be the evolution for Peak over the next couple of years? Like, what are the big things the organization is thinking about? Like, how might the organization look different a couple of years down the road? And what can we expect for Peak 2027?
Okay. So for Peak's 30th anniversary, right, it's a time of reflection on the past. What are the things that we want to take with us for these next few years? How do we want to impact the sector and the field of grants management? I think what you can expect to see from Peak grant making in the next couple of years is more great programming that's really focused on the core of grants management, the tactical, practical how of grant making, which we know our members need, that it's continues to be important to successful funders and successful nonprofits. And I think continuing to encourage bravery, courage in the sector. Equity is completely embedded in who Peak Grantmaking is now. We don't just believe in effective, efficient grantmaking practices. they should also lead to a more equitable sector, a more equitable world. And so continuing to figure out what does that mean. And then I think thinking about what that looks like when it comes to your technology and your supports, I would love to see peak grant making, partnering with other PSOs in new ways and better ways. We know that we're not the only philanthropy supporting organization out there. And so really exploring what does it look like for Peak and TAG to work together better and differently, for Peak and GEO to work together better and differently. So that's what I'm hoping you can start see from Peak in the next
Cool.
couple of years.
Love it. Love it. And what about the next year's conference? Are you
Oh, and
already
next year's
underway with that?
conference.
Are you guys starting to plan?
Oh, you know it. Yeah. So if you're not, if it's already under a year, you're already planning a conference this big. So we're excited to be in Atlanta, Georgia, right around St. Patrick's Day, March 17th through 19th, I believe are our dates. And we are in very early stages of planning. So I know that we actually have many Atlanta-based funders who are very excited for us to come to the Southeast for the first time in a while. And so, you know, you can expect lots of good learning, connecting, and we'll have our call for proposals, for session proposals coming out later in the fall. And we'll be recruiting our coaches and our committee members really shortly. So, excited to bring the community back together again next year.
That's incredible. I love Atlanta, and it's a great town for philanthropy events. So I
Yes.
will be there and excited to see you then, hopefully before then.
Yes.
Sarah Richmond Sanders, this has been such a fun conversation. So thank you so much for the time, and thanks for everything that you're doing for Peak Organization and the Peak community. And everybody, subscribe to the newsletters and join the organization if you haven't already.
Thanks so much, Sam. It's been great being in conversation with you today.
Thanks. Thank you to everyone on the Peak staff who helped put this event together. Every year, it's one of my favorites. The grant professionals who show up are some of the most engaged, generous, and passionate people around, and I feel really lucky to share this space with them. That's all from me today. Thanks for tuning in to Impact Audio, produced by your friends at Submittable. Until next time.